Father, we are truly drawn to your presence. We are comfortable with your presence. Our life is in you. Your presence is all that we desire. We thank you so much for establishing this altar for us to gather, just together, to sit at your footstool. Have your way tonight. We thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Father, just continue, O God, to open the eyes of understanding. Continue to enlighten us, O God. Continue, Father, that your word is a lamp unto our feet, light unto our path, especially this year. You lead us. You guide us by your Spirit. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I know that every new year always brings excitement, is a crossover, is somebody's drinking water or around somewhere. You know, we're just hearing a little noise on the background. If you can mute, that will help us a lot. Thank you. The new year always brings, you know, an expectation and also an atmosphere that encourages people to kind of shift, you know, their mindset towards a better year. And that's very true, because God is a God of seasons. He's a God of time, seasons. Some things begin in the previous year and they carry over to the next year. Or we see the fullness of it in the next year. Some things can begin this year and just build up. You know, so depends on what God is revealing to you and what God is saying, where you are. You know, it's always important to have a refreshing, expectant mind for a better year. It's always good to believe God for a new season, a better season, and to use this moment to press in for a change. So, I also thank God for this moment we're in, as we see everything that's happening across the nation. We see what is stirring in the Middle East. We see the prophetic declaration that is happening to Israel. We see what is boiling in Iran. We see just so much going across the nation. We see the instability and the turbulence in the political atmosphere of the nation. So we really are called for a very special moment in our life and a special time that God wants us to make a difference. But how do we, in a generation of turbulence, in a time when people have so many questions, in a time we see so many signs of the last days, in a time we see so many things happening, how do we align ourselves? How do we position ourselves to really be able to have the mind of God, or to be a prophetic voice or a prophetic expression in a time like that? So 2018, I believe, because of the intense growing, and there's going to be an acceleration of events like we're already seeing. See Donald Trump and North Korea leader just provoking the nations, and you know, just so much is going on that we don't need to be afraid. But how do we position ourselves so that we really harvest this moment, or we take advantage of this moment and become men and women of destiny? That's kind of what we're praying into, entering into this year and moving into this year. I thank God for already a very reliable prophetic word that we've received through the obedience of the willing women. The word has come that this year will be a year of restoration, a year of recovery. So, you know, that's very encouraging. How do you position yourself when you hear the word of God? How do you position yourself to see the fruit of it? Because sometimes we hear things, but we don't position ourselves so that we can truly walk in it. We can really experience it and manifest it. So, for this first Wednesday of 2018, I want to continue in kind of what I was highlighting before we enter this year on how we can really, really taste fruit, breakthroughs, walk in what I just expressed a while ago. In the midst of all that is happening, we walk in destiny, walk in purpose. So we're going to be contending for our destiny. We're going to be enforcing our destiny, manifesting our destiny. And destiny basically is not the new age destiny or man's destiny, the secular destiny. I'm saying, just like Paul said in Romans chapter 8, I'm talking about what God has already ordained, what God has already purposed before we were born, before we were conceived, what God has prepared for you to walk in, for you to manifest, to inherit. So I want to read a few scriptures before we go further. And I want to begin with Isaiah chapter 64, a very familiar verse, 64 verse 4. It says, from ancient times, from the beginning of the world, men have not heard, or neither has it entered, it has not entered the ears of men, or men have not seen the things that God has prepared for those who wait on him. For those who wait on him. Paul, repeating, quoting this very same scripture, 1 Corinthians says, for those who love him. So it is very evident, even in 1 Corinthians, Paul says that the natural man, the carnal man, cannot receive the things of the Spirit because they are spiritually discerned. So in Isaiah 64, Isaiah is receiving from the Lord. He said the carnal man is already been blinded from spiritual reality. The carnal man cannot receive spiritual their spiritual purpose. They cannot see, they cannot hear it, they cannot receive it, that which has been prepared for them. Because, you know, that's what it is, because they are human, they are carnal. Paul says, because we are carnal. But he says, spiritual things are unfolded, unpacked, downloaded by those that are spiritual. Now, I want to read another scripture. One, using Isaiah 64, we want to establish that the carnal man does not have the capacity to really understand their destiny. So in Jeremiah, very familiar scripture, Jeremiah chapter 1, it says, Jeremiah 1 from verse 4, it says, thus says the Lord, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, before you were conceived in your mother's womb, before you were formed, I knew you. And while you were in your mother's womb, I set you apart, I sanctified you, and then I ordained you, meaning I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. So here Jeremiah is saying, spiritually speaking, because he's saying now to a prophetic destiny. He said, before you were formed, I knew you. And while you were in your mother's womb, as you were being clothed with flesh and blood, I set you apart. And while you were in your mother's womb still, I called you to fulfill an assignment. I called you with destiny, with a purpose. So in Romans 8, Paul says, we know not how to pray as we should, but the Spirit of God helps our limitation by praying the will of God for us. And so he said, for whom God foreknew, he also predestinate. He has a destiny for them. And who God has destiny, he called to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, if God has a plan and God says this plan originates from his throne, which is heaven, which is spiritual. Because we're blessed with all spiritual blessings, heavenly blessings, which is spiritual. So God has a spiritual plan. God has this that he wants to reveal in the earth. He wants to manifest in the earth. But this plan is now covered in flesh and blood. So now we read in Isaiah that flesh and blood cannot understand it. So we as born again believers, we have destiny covered in us. We have destiny covered in the flesh. But as we live out our Christian life, many, even myself, we don't really activate or manifest the fullness of our destiny within the limits of a year. Because every year, God has seasons. And within a year, God has things he wants to unpack, he wants to do. Let me use an example. It doesn't mean that every year will always bring about a lot of glorious things. Every year has seasons, and each season in our destiny has different things they produce. But I want to quickly explain that, and then I will say that this season we are in is going to be a fruitful season. It's going to be a season where destiny is highlighted. But before destiny is highlighted, we go through various seasons. So because we are human, we don't understand destiny. God used a few people in the Bible to give us example of how destiny works. The first example, there are several, but the clear example that we see the work of destiny in his life is Abraham. God called him out of the world, out of his father, out of his parents, and said, Abraham, I'm calling you out because I have a plan for you. And then, Abraham, here's the plan I have for you. I'm going to make you the father of nations. Nations will come out of you. I'm setting you apart from your human tree, your national tree line, your physical national blood tree line. I'm bringing you into the plans and purposes of God, a totally new branch. So he brought him out. He gave him a word. So that word became the impactation of destiny. So Abraham, now for destiny to manifest, Abraham has this word of God in him. But this destiny now started fighting against the flesh. So first of all, the word of God will wrestle against the flesh, because flesh and blood cannot inherit destiny. So Abraham, as he was obeying God as he goes, he was dying. He was getting older. Eventually, Sarah's womb died. Abraham became old. But in the process of time, because they are human, they did not really understand how destiny works. They thought maybe their strength, their flesh, their ability will make destiny come forth. But they didn't realize that flesh and blood cannot make destiny come forth. God has to kill human ability for destiny to come. So they didn't understand. So God used them as an example, the father of faith. So their lives showed that destiny and flesh are enemies. So the word of God, the flesh fights against the spirit, really against flesh. So how did that happen? They were getting old. Nothing was happening. So they thought, okay. Abraham first thought, okay, maybe my servant will be this, fulfill his destiny. God says no. And then later, they kept struggling because they were looking at themselves and they were getting weaker, they were getting older. It's like, we are losing the ability to see this manifest. And then later, finally, Sarah's womb died. She got old, there's no way she can give birth. So physically speaking, in the natural, they've come to that wilderness where people question, where is God? If God spoke to me, if God gave me this vision, if I'm a man or woman of destiny, why have I lost every ability to see come to pass? Why is everything I see in the physical tells me this thing will never happen? But you see, they didn't understand. So God used them as an example. One of the ways you know that you are about to unpack destiny is when your human ability does not have the ability to promote it. Because flesh and blood can never glory in the presence of God. So Abraham, Sarah's womb died. So the first thing is they've lost absolute ability to say, I did it. There's no way Sarah will say, I made this happen. There's no way Abraham will say, I made this happen. So, but there was still a little bit of question in their mind. Okay, God spoke this thing to us. There's no way this is going to happen. So Sarah advised Abraham, you know what? There's still room for us to make this thing happen. So let's use my servant. Maybe it's through my servant. You know, and then they used the servant and Ishmael was born. So you see, sometimes when we are going through wilderness, we're going through the years where God is really working out our destiny, working things in us, our character, is killing things. He comes in different ways. We're all different. But there's all this question that comes with the process. And in Sarah's life is when they question the process, that's how finally they figured out, let's use my servant, and Ishmael was born. And another question we have sometimes is, after we waited for a dream, something we know God spoke, or something we know we saw God spoke, like Sarah, we begin to say, maybe it's not going to happen in my time. Maybe it's for my children. Maybe it's not going to happen actually. Maybe it was just a dream. Maybe it was for somebody else. Maybe it's going to just happen for somebody. So like, that's where Sarah then went. Sarah says, it's not me. But when it started, it was Sarah and Abraham. But when I wombed, I said, no, it's not me anymore. It has to be somebody else. So in the midst of trying to always looking for how the arm of the flesh can help God bring about the plans of God, they ended up with the will of man. So Ishmael was not the will of God, even though he was born. That is a very big lesson for every generation to learn from. Till this day, Ishmael is still fighting, contending for destiny. Ishmael is still contending with Israel for their divine inheritance. Ishmael is still a stumbling block for men and women of destiny, Israel, in the physical. So you see why the ways of God are very high than our ways, which is the will of God, destiny and purpose. Now, another example, again, is the life of Joseph. These are examples for us because they didn't know anything. They just received the word. They received the vision. It is in our time that Paul started writing. These things were written so that we can study how the ways of God operate. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So the processes we walk through, we call it the wilderness, they are to bring us to the place where our flesh surrenders completely to die. So that when we are at that place where we're totally submitted to God, we know that God has already trained our character to believe God now for his word to come to pass. So look at Joseph, for example. He's another man of destiny. Everybody, they are people of destiny, but because we don't understand, sometimes we abort it or we fight against it so much that we almost miss it. So that's why these examples are for us. And I'm sharing these examples for a reason. So Joseph is a very popular example. He received a dream of destiny. What does it mean, destiny? God says, Joseph, before you were born, I had a plan. And while you were in your mother's womb, I have set you apart. And while you have ordained, you have appointed you, you're going to be a ruler, you're going to be somebody. When that season comes, this is the role you're going to play. I want just to give you a glimpse of it. So he gave Joseph a dream. So Joseph received this dream and he believed it. So from the moment he started sharing this dream, you can see that revelation of destiny started putting him in a condition where his flesh was under crucifixion. So the rest of Joseph's life from that moment started going through severe suffering, severe pain, severe process. The flesh was being killed or crucified, but that does not mean destiny. Actually, he was being prepared fully internally for destiny. So along the way, if you look at all that Joseph went through, every one of us has a question in Joseph's life. Why did this happen to me? Why did my brother do this? Why did the church do this? You always have, why did this happen to me? Why this? Why that? Why this? Joseph's life, we all have somewhere in his life where we ask questions about ourselves. But his life showed, if you look at his life progressively, everything about the flesh, everything about what men can see, everything about what men will see as success was in the flesh was turning to failure, to destruction, to a loser, to the end. And God finally brought him, like Sarah's womb, to a dead end. He ended up in a dead end in Pharaoh's dungeon. Humanly, God has brought Joseph to a place where there is nothing in him that will ever be able to say, it was my power, it was my strength that made this happen. So Paul, in revealing destiny, said, when he finally understood what God was doing in his life, when he was praying, God, take this suffering away, take this away, take this person, take all this away. It's like God will not remove it. It was just, God says, my grace is sufficient, because my strength is perfected in your weakness. It was after much in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul finally says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it's not me that lives anymore, but destiny. I use the word destiny because it says, it's not me that lives, but Christ. That word now became flesh. The vision God gave to me now became who I am. And you cannot stop that anymore. The only thing you can stop is the flesh, but now the flesh is crucified. But you cannot stop Christ in him. He says, I'm crucified with Christ, but nevertheless, I live. But it's not I that lives, but Christ. Christ is destiny. Galatians chapter 8 says, all things work together for good. He says, whom God predestined, whom God called to be conformed to the image of his Son. What is that image? Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the word become flesh. So, Paul was explaining what was happening in Joseph in the Old Testament, what was happening in Moses in the Old Testament. Why would God take a man from Egypt that was going to be a king in the flesh, destroyed him, became for 40 years, was put in the poorest situation, but then eventually he came out, his flesh looked weak, but he came out at the end of his preparation from wilderness, he came out as a man of destiny. There's no way Moses could say, it's my strength that brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Because Moses literally fought God about going back to Egypt. So coming out of Egypt, there's nothing in him that will ever share the glory of God. So if you watch every one of these people from Sarah, Abraham, you watch Joseph, you watch Moses, by the time God is through with their preparation, with their wilderness, when they come to the harvest time, when they come to the point where destiny is now to be revealed, to be manifested, there is nothing in their flesh that will share the glory of God. Nothing. There is nothing that will ever make them say, I have anything to do with this. It is so easy for them to say, it is God. It's all God. So that's why Paul was writing again to the Corinthians church in 15. He says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Meaning flesh and blood cannot really manifested. So, one of the ways that we align ourselves, maybe like I said before, you might not have a dream like Joseph. You might not hear a straight word like Abraham heard. Or you might not have somebody come and pour oil on your head like they did with David and say, you're going to be king. This is what God says. But every one of us, the moment we are born again, we have conceived destiny. Jesus is the destiny we carry. And there comes a time for Jesus, that destiny to be revealed after our flesh have gone through the times of preparation and training. Doesn't mean we're just sitting idle, but we're doing things. So how do we all, or how have we all been aligned to destiny? How have we all been pregnant with Jesus, carrying this destiny? It's through the power of prayer. Prayer is the most powerful alignment to the kingdom of God. Prayer is the only vehicle that releases the things that are on God's heart, that releases the things that God has purposed into the earthly realm. And that's why when Jesus was asked, teach us to pray. In teaching them to pray, all you can see there is Jesus is saying, without prayer, you cannot release the things that are in heaven into the earth. But with prayer, he says, you now begin to ask your Father, God, and say, your kingdom come. Luke chapter 11. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. That's the prayer of destiny. Basically, you're saying, God, I didn't have a dream, I didn't have a vision, I didn't have things like Abraham, but I'm asking you, I'm born again. Let that which you know about me, that which you've caused me to be born again, that which you knew before I was born, now that I'm born again, that which you set me apart to fulfill within the body of Christ, within my generation, in my city, in my family, what you have appointed me, I'm asking that you cause that to manifest in me on earth as it is in heaven. That's the prayer of destiny. Anytime anybody prays that prayer, your life will go sometimes like the life of Joseph. Your life will look sometimes like the life of Sarah and Abraham. Your life will look sometimes like the life of these people in the Bible. And that's why many times we are confused. Why do we pray so much? People will tell you, you pray, 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 pray. Where's the results? You pray, pray, pray. Where's the answer? Because they don't understand. God's ways of revealing answered prayer is not meant ways of revealing answered prayer. It doesn't mean sometimes when you pray for miracle, you shouldn't have it. It doesn't mean when you pray for final, little, no. But I'm talking about the extended seasons of preparation and waiting while you're praying. Many times it will look like your prayers, it looks like you pray. No, but if you look at these people's life, how many of them? Look at them. Moses was 40 years. Abraham, 25 years. Joseph, he had a dream at the age of 17. He saw it starting being fulfilled at the age of 30. Look at David from a young age, about 16, 17. Oil was poured in his head. He was 30 when he started walking in it. There is a season. Look at Paul. Look at the New Testament. There's more an acceleration because of the Holy Ghost in us, of the season. But God answers prayers, especially when you are always praying, God, use me. God, I want to change my generation. God, I want to make a difference in my family. God, I want you to use me to bring healing to the sea. I want you to use me. I want to be a voice. I want to be you. All this prayer you pray. But when God starts preparing you to be able to walk in what you've been praying, sometimes you'll begin to wonder, why is all these things happening? Why is this? Why is that? Read the Bible, you see exactly those whys in all these people's lives. And that's why Paul said, when the Spirit of the Lord helps you to bypass, in Romans 8, helps you to bypass all these carnal prayers, which is okay. Give me a car, give me a house, give me all this. And Spirit of God is helping you to pray the will of God. God, manifest your purpose as it is in my life this year. Manifest your purpose as it is. I want you to use my life. You're praying God's will, God's purpose, God's, you're praying. God will allow you to go through things that will crucify pride, that will kill lust, that will kill self. All these things that we go through, they are all aimed at destroying self, flesh. And if you look at it, when God now begins to do the work, it is very easy for you not to share the glory. Because there's nothing there for you to say, I did it. Because you know your flesh has been crucified. So, that's the thing people don't understand. So, Paul had to explain in Romans, when you are praying the will of God, you don't realize what you go through. But Paul says, God will work everything you're going through for your good. Because it's because you love God. And God is working all these things because you have prayed for destiny. And you align yourself to destiny. So, God is working out what is predestined for you to work in. Into that image of Christ. But then we don't always understand. So we get weary, we get tired, we get miserable, and we just think, my prayers are not being answered. But thank God for the good news. The good news is this. Whether we understand, we don't understand. But God gives us the grace. Through the wilderness, through the mountains, through the valleys, through everything we've gone through after we prayed for destiny and things are happening, we don't believe, everything has been shaking, our life is look like a mess, we look like all this stuff, where is this, what am I doing in America, what is this, I can't do that. By the time we are able to endure all this process, God always brings us to a season where now he begins to manifest the fruit of destiny. It begins to manifest the fruit of destiny. And this fruit of destiny begins to release what they call a times of refresh. You begin to feel something is now happening. God is now doing something. And these seasons of refreshing or the beginnings of the manifestation of destiny is, for example, what Joseph experienced. All of a sudden, in the dark dungeons of the jail, he had a news. The king wants to see you. All of a sudden, Abraham has a visitor. Angels shows up. God came, just physically shows up and say, you know what? The moment for Sarah has come. You know, you begin to receive tangible, physical encounters that says, all these years of suffering, I hid myself, I was speaking to you, but now I'm coming in a way that undeniably you know is a season has come. So it's a season where you plant a seed in the ground. And you wait, and you wait for years. The seed dies, it begins to grow, nothing has come up. But all of a sudden, there comes a time you begin to see little fruits coming on that seed. And they start turning green, and eventually they start changing color. And you know this fruit season is getting ripe. And your harvest is undeniable, because you can see the season is close. That's how I feel about 2018. I started seeing some fruits like that. Physical fruits that there is nothing that I can attach that I'll say it has anything to do with me. I'm just talking about my personal sign. And then I started experiencing in 2017 unspeakable miraculous signs. Undeniable physical signs after these years of waiting. So I just feel, and I want to say to you, I really believe 2018, we're going to see some revelation, some manifestation of the fruits of destiny. And let me just say this. as we continue to pray into this year, that prayer that Jesus taught us. Always remember this. Let me use an illustration. Let's say, for example, there are two people working for a company, and all that company owes is $100,000. So while you were in that company, all you had was, out of the $100,000, all you had was probably $1,000 out of $100,000. So it looks like those who had $99,000, they were reigning, they were ruling. So that $1,000 you had, it looks like you're managing, you're struggling, you're doing what you can, and you're believing God, you're saying. Now, let me use that illustration to show you how destiny works. When the time comes for your breakthrough, when destiny wants to speak, when God wants to vindicate you, it does not mean that that $100,000 in that company will become $200,000. I'm using an illustration. That $100,000 will still be $100,000, but the difference is that it changes who has the 99 and who has the one. You might have had the $1,000, but when God promotes you, you now have the 99, and the people that had the 99 will be struggling with the 1,000. So, like Joseph, when the time came, Egypt still had what they had. There were things that were lost, but Joseph harvested. Joseph was lifted in such a way from nobody, from what he was. God started using him to speak into the destiny of kings, giving them understanding, giving wisdom, and got to a place where he now became the one that has the 99. And other people were struggling. You look at the life of Abraham, he got the seed, and out of his seed came nations. Look at the life of David, look at all these people. He later became king. He was now sitting on the top rather than hiding in caves and living at the poorest level. So, what is destiny? Destiny God revealed to Israel in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. But he did not put it that way, destiny. He says, if you obey me, this will be the result of obedience. In other words, when you manifest my word, when you walk in my word, these are signs of what it looks like. You will be the head and not the tail. You will be this and that. You will be that. You be that. Because now you're walking with God. And once you come in alignment with the things of God, you live above the stand. God elevates you above the level of earthly rulership. Because that's the word of God. That's why flesh and blood cannot do it, cannot earn it. It has to be God who does it by his spirit. So that's why it's not easy. If you look through the Bible, people don't understand destiny, so they never give it a chance. They believe more in their strength. People believe more in their ability. People believe more in what they can do. People believe more in what they can see. So many people will rather prefer that route, so that the few people who eventually manifest destiny end up always being few ruling. But this time, God has sons and daughters, a remnant, is about to baptize with such breakthroughs and unfolding of destiny that this world will know. This God we serve, though he looks like he's been hiding and the world has been flourishing, but God is about to do something gradually, but with acceleration, that will really put the sons and daughters of God, the voice in the earth. So all the prayers you've been praying has led to the crucifixion of your flesh. But I believe 2018, we are going to see, like the word says, restoration, recovery, reward, God remembering you, and God refreshing you progressively. And you will not be able to say, it is me. Because God is going to do exceedingly abundantly above what you would have been able to do in your own strength. So be encouraged to pray and continuously to pray this prayer in Luke. Let this prayer be the focus. No matter how you pray, pray in the Spirit, the Lord. Pray a lot in the Spirit this season, but also pray the Word of God and the will of God. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life this day. Your will be done in my life this week. Your will be done in our ministry. Your will be done in my city this week. Just progressively always enforce the will of God before you pray anything. Because this season, God is going to more focus on his will. And if you align yourself to his will, you are going to be among those who are really going to be refreshed. Amen. Father, thank you so much for crossing us over into a new year. You said those who sow in tears, they will reap in joy. Father, thank you that you have not left us ignorant of the truth. Your ways are higher than the ways of men. And many times as we pray, as we wait, even ourselves, we challenge ourselves. We sometimes question if we are ever doing the right thing we're seeing through. But your word has made it clear. The paths of destiny can only be understood by the Spirit. And by your Spirit, you're giving us understanding. So, Father, as we enter this year, God, that you are giving us understanding to have expectation for fruit, for refreshing. Father, we pray that you go ahead of us, overtake us, and truly may we begin to enjoy the harvest of our labors. Thank you for what you've already begun to do, and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.